Joining us is Anthony Royal, the founding chief executive of Māori-owned telecommunications group Tū'ātea. He's preparing to step down after helping take the organisation from spectrum advocacy into a major commercial operation. Anthony spent 26 years advocating for Māori interests in the telco spectrum and played a central role in negotiations with the Crown that ultimately led to the establishment of Tū'ātea. Under his leadership, the organisation's grown from just three staff to 150, is tracking towards more than $50 million in annual revenue and $100 million in assets. Completed four acquisitions and has launched our country's first multi-built commercial private 5G network. His departure marks a planned generational transition as Tū'ātea moves into its next commercial growth phase. But Anthony's going to continue his advocacy as co-governor of the Māori Spectrum Working Group and chair of Ngāti Tamatera. It's a whanau. Tēnā koe, Anthony. Thanks for joining us for a kōrero. Ngā mihi.
Kōrena, Dale. Good to hear from you.
It's been quite a quarter century for you in this space, eh, Anthony? Advocating for our interests in spectrum and telecommunications. What achievements are you most proud of?
Look, I'm most proud of the fact that, you know, we had a vision way back in, I think it was 2012, when we were negotiating with the government over access to 700 megahertz spectrum. And my mentor, Whatarangi Weniata, said to me, he said, if we got spectrum and if we got the resources, what would we do with it? And I thought, oh, gee, I'd better think about that. And so I wrote a paper in 2012. And, you know, we weren't successful in 2014 in getting access to 700 megahertz spectrum. But we did end up with the Kāhau Fund. And then I kind of said at that stage, oh, look, I think that's done, that's me done. I'll leave it for the next generation. But here we are. We've executed on that. We took a vision. Again, we started negotiation in 2019, went through to a agreement with the government. We signed in 2022 after a national spectrum hui in 21 at Ōtaki. And now we're delivering on that promise that we put in front of people all those years ago. So I'm really proud that we've got to this space. We're in a good place, and we're now in the process of looking for somebody to take us to the next level, because the work hasn't finished yet.
Big organisations are offering up for sale. Is this an end goal to build a company up and an organisation, a kaupapa, to a scale where others would want in on it? Or where do you see Tū'ātea going in the future, just growing the asset base? And a lot of us, you know, struggle a little with that term when we say there's $100 million in assets. What are we talking about, Anthony?
Yeah, well, great question. Look, this is my personal opinion. We're not looking to build up the organisation for sale. This is an opportunity for Māori to participate in the telecommunications and the digital technology industry. It's an opportunity to have a business into which we can bring Māori into the sector. We can use it to help train people. We can use it to help support other Māori businesses in the digital technology sector. So my personal view is no, we're not looking to sell. What we're looking to do is to build a really big, significant technology business that's owned by Māori, forces to be financially sustainable, and then can support other Māori businesses into the digital technology field, and also employ Māori in this, in both in telecommunications and of course the emerging technologies that continue to be developed. So I don't see it as a sale. I see this as Māori creating really great assets in the digital technology field.
What's happening with the profits then? I mean, or are we just sort of growing the asset base with the pūtea developed from the kaupapa?
Well, the first phase of what we've been doing is that when we negotiated with the government way back and started in 2019 through to 2021, we said we don't want to be an organisation, a Māori organisation, that goes back to the government year after year to get funding to continue the work that we want to do. We don't want that, because what happens is you're left at the whim of the government at the time and the minister who's in power, and we see it all the time with Māori organisations. You start off with a great promise, but over time, the funding gets whittled down and down. So our premise was this, was that we needed to build an organisation that is owned by Māori, that has the financial resources to stand on its own two feet without the help of government. And that's what we wanted to develop. So phase one is building an organisation that is financially sustainable, that can stand on its own two feet. The second part of the phase is how do we then take those the returns and then provide opportunity for Māori. So we're doing a bunch of things already, and that's only going to increase over time. But some of the things that we're doing is that we have started employing Māori in the business. We've got young Māori engineers in there being given opportunities and learning about technology that they wouldn't have had the opportunity to do. We've had interns in there. We've had schools come in. We've had Unihunga College come in recently and spend some time with us. We're doing some work with Tepini and helping their kids out there learn how to build electric racing cars. We're supporting 60 Māori digital businesses in conjunction with Auckland Council. So there's a whole range of things. We're running training programs, many of them for free, on AI and project management and a whole range of different activities. So there's a whole range of things that we do. We've got scholarships at all of the major universities, particularly for those Māori who want to train in the engineering and technology fields. So there's a range of activities that we're doing in engaging with Māori and giving them opportunity to participate in this digital world.
Tēnā koe. Now that the precedent has been set, that we have a treaty afforded right to aspects of technological advancement, and in your role as co-convener of the Māori Spectrum Working Group, are we to assume that it's a given that Māori will have interests in other emerging opportunities as we go up to G's? I don't know how many G's we're at now, but conceivably the changes will continue as a technological advancement is undeniable, but also something of a grey area. So will we have dibs in emerging technologies, and how do you future-proof Māori involvement in the telecommunications sector, Anthony?
Great questions. Look, let's just start with the role of the MSWG, the Māori Spectrum Working Group. When we signed the deal back in 2022 in February, there were a range of things that we had asked, that we had agreed with the government. And one of those things was that we actually enshrine in legislation Māori's right to access spectrum. And that's been the primary driver for this case, is Māori's right to gain access to a natural resource. So telecommunications spectrum is a natural resource. And the argument was, of course, Māori didn't know about it in 1840, so how can they claim it? Well, nor did the Crown in 1840 know about it. And so our argument is, when you create private property rights, which is what this government did, sorry, not this government, but previous governments did way back in the 80s and 90s, they created private property rights, tradable rights, that that allowed companies to own these natural resources. We said, well, if the government is going to go and do that, they need to make allowance for Māori to have the same rights to get the access to that resource. And that's the premise of the Waitangi Tribunal claim Y776 taken in 1999. So there is work to, when we signed that deal in 2022, what the government agreed to was 20% of spectrum allocated to Māori at no cost. We also agreed that we would have two ātea enshrined in legislation. Neither of those things have yet happened, and we are working with the government to try to get to a point whereby we've got long-term certainty for Māori. So there's a bit of work for us to do just yet, and I'll continue on that course. We look forward to engaging with the minister, whoever the new Minister of Telecommunications might be after our election. In terms of technology, look, yes, there are going to be some changes. 6G, they're working on that right now. The big question, of course, is, you know, that we've implemented 5G in this country, and the mobile operators are still trying to figure out how to get them their investment back on that. But for Māori, the key thing for us is to understand the technologies, understand where they're going, and to be able to figure out how best we can use these technologies for our purposes. And that's the important thing, is for us to be really knowledgeable about these technologies as they grow. I mean, AI is a really good example, is that we've got a body of knowledge around the risks around AI, but we also need to make sure we've got a body of knowledge around how iwi Māori can harness these technologies, you know, for the right things, not for the wrong things.
Oh, well, it's still a battleground too, because there's obvious political uncertainty, and we're seeing in many different aspects of New Zealand life a willingness by this outfit anyway to diminish Māori involvement in certain sectors. I'm guessing telecommunications will be a hot one as well. But look, congratulations, Anthony, on what you've been able to spearhead across time and to position us as strongly as we are in the telco field. It's an intriguing and important aspect of our Māori development and growth going forward. Looking forward to more conversations for you in your new role as you step aside from the the chief executive role. Wonderful to have another cordial with you too, Chief. Tēnā koe.
Yeah, kia ora, Dale.
Thank you. Thanks so much.